Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. The Well Woman Show is sponsored by Better Money Decisions, headed by two awesome women, Kate and Lorraine, who put your interest first when it comes to your money. They make sure your plan and your investments are tailored just for you. No financial jargon, no Wall Street double talk. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman to get their new book for free. Today's topic is finding inherent worth and dignity in every person, including yourself. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be clearer about seeking counsel from your older self and be more gentle with yourself. My guest today is Reverend Angela Herrera, a Unitarian Universalist since she was 7 years old, and the daughter of a functionally illiterate mom. Angela Herrera graduated from Harvard Divinity School and is now the senior minister-elect for First Unitarian in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The free giveaway today is a meditation that my guest wrote called Utterance of the Timeless Word. Go to wellwomanlife.com/070show to download it for free. I love this giveaway because you can use it to meditate anytime, anywhere. Now to my interview with Reverend Angela Herrera. So I want to ask you first is, what are you working on right now in terms of your role as a senior minister in New Mexico, and how does it impact the lives of women?
Well, one of the things I'm most passionate about, and this is something that came up a lot in our congregational discernment too, what it's something that members talked about as being really important to them, is diversity and social justice. I'm particularly interested in what William Barber describes and others describe as the concept of intersectionality. So, for example, from about 2014 to 2016, I was a member of the Faith in Reproductive Justice Institute, Faith in Reproductive Justice Leadership Institute at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And, you know, that work was centered on something that's really important to me, which is reproductive justice. But the approach we took at the Center for American Progress was very much one of looking at where are the intersections. So how does racism intersect with reproductive justice, and how do policies tend to impact women of color, or and where more than white women, for example? Or where does economic justice intersect with it? And so we looked at all kinds of intersections, LGBTQ and education and lots of things like that, immigration status even. And I came away from that with a really deep value and passion for looking at justice issues from diverse perspectives and just finding out where they all overlapped. So, because nothing is really siloed, you know, nothing is really apart from the others.
Okay. And so what will that look like in your work now at the church?
Well, I've been networking like crazy around Albuquerque and New Mexico with other leaders, and I'm really interested in getting involved or creating a broad-based coalition kind of opportunity here in New Mexico. And I think we have some really great starts on that in our state. So it's just a matter of bringing people together, deepening relationships so that when tough issues come up or when we need to look for where our work connects, we have those relationships to build from on that.
Hmm. Okay. And Angela, can you talk about the Unitarian Church and how you came to be senior minister here, and what is the philosophy? What is your approach here in terms of spirituality?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll give you a little bit of a bio that I think reveals a lot about the answer to your question. So I became a Unitarian Universalist when I was about 7 years old. My mom started taking us to the Unitarian Universalist Church. And what was especially interesting about that was that, you know, at the time we lived in a little tiny town in Oregon. It had a population of 750. We lived in a little trailer park, very, very working class. And my mom had not completed high school and, in fact, was pretty much functionally illiterate when I was a kid. But when I was maybe 4 or 5, she started going to community college to finish her diploma. She learned to read better. She took a history class in which she learned about Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, famous American philosophers. And they were Unitarians, and she liked their work so much she wondered whether their church still existed. So she found out, probably from the Yellow Pages, because this was the 80s, mm-hmm. that there was one in downtown Portland, and she started driving us an hour each Sunday to get there. So it's still the most unlikely conversion story I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. and, you know, the town where we lived was very conservative, including very religiously conservative. You know, growing up Unitarian Universalist, the church is so affirming of diversity, including theological diversity. The first principle of our denomination is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And so I was taking messages away from Sunday school as a little UU kid. We say UU, short for Unitarian Universalist. That really helped me navigate the social barriers and power structures in the little town and the town next to it where I grew up. And so I say that it was very much a saving message in a way. We got poorer as I was growing up. And by the time I graduated from high school, we were on welfare and food stamps and living in county housing. I drifted away from church for a little while right around then. But when I became a mother at the age of 19, and then again, 3 years later, I realized I could use a religious community to help me raise my children. And I wanted them to be raised with the messages of religious diversity and tolerance and honoring the mind that I had grown up with. So I was pretty rough around the edges, having had that upbringing and being such a young mother. But when I walked into a church in the town I had moved to, the UU Church, I found a community of grandmothers that just took me under their wings and really helped me get the rest of the way to becoming an adult and invited me into all kinds of leadership. And it was out of that context that I finally felt a really strong call to ministry. I was going to community college at the time, once I said out loud, I think I might want to become a minister, the doors just started flying open. And I ended up getting a scholarship to Harvard Divinity School, where I went for my Master of Divinity degree. And it was from there that I was called to serve this congregation. One thing I want to say about going to Harvard Divinity, when I was a kid and we went to that church in Portland and my mom could barely read, the minister there at that time had gone to Harvard Divinity. And my mother used to say that she felt like he was speaking to her. She was in the she was in the pews, and she felt like he was sharing that education with her, like personally. And so when I decided to become a minister, I decided to take a shot at getting into Harvard because I hoped to be able to do something similar. And when, to my amazement, I got in, I knew that after I graduated, I would take that education back out west to give it away like he had for her. And so that was also a piece of the story that brought me to Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. There's such beautiful layers of culture and diversity here, and also a kind of a grittiness and a down-to-earthness and a realness in this city that really felt like home to me. Mm.
That's a great story. And New Mexico and Albuquerque is lucky to have you here sharing that. I find the Unitarian Universalist Church interesting in that it really includes people from all backgrounds, all religions, And even those who don't necessarily consider themselves spiritual might find something of use, you know, there. And also folks who don't like organized religion. So can you talk about that?
Yes. Well, so we are a non-creedal church, which means we don't ask people to believe a certain thing in order to be members. There's no creedal test. You don't have to affirm any creed to join us. We say instead that we need not think alike to love alike. And so we're more concerned with how you live your life, whether you have a meaningful life, and how can we help you with that than with what people believe. We do have principles and purposes of the denomination. So we affirm, for example, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, the democratic process. We support one another in our spiritual paths, our paths to truth. And we believe there are many paths to spiritual truth. So although Unitarian Universalism has Protestant roots, it comes out of the Judeo-Christian tradition, we have become at this point so theologically diverse that we may be the only tradition that is Protestant but not Christian as a whole anymore. There are Christians among us, but we're not a Christian church.
Okay. And Angela, can you talk about a time in your life when you didn't put yourself first, when you weren't taking care of yourself the way you probably now know you need to?
Well, you know, I would definitely say that coming out of high school, I just did not have a sense of my goals or how to problem solve very well or how to achieve them. And I kind of fell into parenting because I didn't have a better plan at the time. And I spent the first 5 years of my kids' lives as a stay-at-home mother. Kind of having my other goals on hold. I would say, though, that that time was deeply and richly meaningful to me. I wouldn't go back and change it now, even though I can see that I kind of defaulted into it. Spending my days with them really connected me with life and generations, and little kids ask such profound existential questions too. They're really the best spiritual inquirers out there, and they really prepared me so well for the path that ended up being my path. So that it was a treasure in hindsight.
Yeah, that's interesting because some people say, you know, things happen. Everything happens for a reason. Do you believe that? How do you view that?
You know, I wouldn't say everything happens for a reason, but I do think we can make anything meaningful and can get something out of anything that happens to us, even if some of it is painful or challenging.
So I sort of agree that everything doesn't happen for a reason, but I do think that we can learn from everything, and everything that happens presents an opportunity for learning, which is really hard to see it that way sometimes, mm-hmm. right? And especially for those of us that were particularly distraught after the election. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of conversations with people about how we have to see this as a learning opportunity at some level.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, definitely there is something to be learned in how surprised many of us were about the results, and also about where we're at as a country and how so many threads of this moment in history came together to create the reality that we're experiencing right now, you know, social media and economic disparity and all that race, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot to be learned there. And ouch, right? Ouch.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of people wondering how to do that. You know, it's, I think people are going really, really digging deep and trying to figure out how they can reconcile mm-hmm. what's happening in the country and how they, you know, what is their role in it? I think this is obviously not a time to disengage, but it is hard to engage. Mm-hmm. So what is your view on that right now?
Well, we have a profoundly polarizing president who reflects the profound polarization in our country. And so I think this is the perfect time to engage and to do it with humility and curiosity and to try to get to know our neighbors. And I'm define neighbor broadly, and to reach out. It's been a while since it was the norm to have civil conversations in our society between people who respectfully disagree about positions on things. I mean, even two people who share values, it's hard to have conversations that reflect different political positions. And so it's time for us to get good at that again.
So a lot of what we deal with on the Well Woman Show is how we take care of ourselves and you know, do all of the things in our lives that we do, and maintain a level of health and well-being for ourselves, right? And taking care of ourselves. So with all of the political turmoil and people wanting to be engaged, but finding it difficult to figure out where their place is, what would you suggest as sort of an idea for taking care of ourselves throughout this process?
One thing I think is important is, you know, even though there's polarization in our country and it's a time for connecting and relationship building, it's also true that there is some terrible dehumanizing injustice being spoken from our White House and being perpetuated. And so one thing we can do to take care of ourselves is resist, honestly. You know, while we are trying to connect, I think it's also very important to say what we're for and what is bad for the fabric of our society and what is dehumanizing and what's affirming and what upholds the highest ideals of our country. And so, you know, keep having a balance of self-advocacy, standing in solidarity with others, casting a vision for the greater good, and connecting is important. And it's also important for us to know that while each of us has an important role to play, none of us is solely responsible for fixing everything. And so it's okay and important sometimes to get outside and look at the mountain or spend some time on it or whatever your practice, your spiritual practice is in your life that reminds you of your smallness in the order of things. Also, we need to stay connected with that.
Okay, if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Reverend Angela Herrera today, and we're talking about her new role as senior minister-elect of the Unitarian Church in Albuquerque, and also talking about the things we can do to take care of ourselves while we are still being who we are out in the world. How do we take care of ourselves? So one thing I want to point to is if you go to wellwomanlife.com/KUNM, you can download one of Reverend Angela's meditations that she's sharing with us. And can you talk about your meditation and the book you wrote and some of the meditations that you're going to share with us?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, the book began as just a tiny collection of poetry I had written over the years, some from when I was a stay-at-home mom, some when I was in divinity school or being a student minister or a student chaplain, and some are pieces that I wrote for this congregation to offer as the Sunday prayer, and they're particularly poetic or meditative kinds of prayers. Some I wrote in response to something a member of the congregation asked or said.
Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. One of the top issues women tell me they struggle with is finances, which is why I want you to call my friends at Better Money Decisions. The company is owned by women, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter, and they make sure your plan and your investments are tailored just for you. They're fiduciaries and put your interests first. No financial jargon, no Wall Street double talk. Also, they have a gift for Well Woman Show listeners, their free book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do. And it's all about the need to manage your money for a long life expectancy. You can download the entire book at bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman. And you'll also get a free portfolio diagnostic so you can tell if your investments are right for you. Just go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman.
The one that I'll share is called Utterance of the Timeless Word. And it's a piece that I wrote after someone in the congregation came to me asking, what does life mean? And, you know, big questions. What does life mean? What is this about? What is the divine? What is God? And got me reflecting on the humility of the pastor whose job is to engage these questions, even though sometimes we are full of them ourselves.
Okay, that's great. So we can download that at wellwomanlife.com/KUNM. And we're going into a segment called Superpowers for Success. And I want to ask you a few quick questions. These are not terribly quick questions, but we'll go through them quickly. What does success in life mean to you?
For me, success is about power with people, about exploring our ability to impact the world, and about delving together into the depth aspect of life and just drawing out more meaning, beauty, and connection.
And what does living a well woman life mean for you?
Living a well woman life is a practice. It is constantly tending the balance between professional and personal, caring for our bodies. It's something that I think I've found I can never say, okay, I've got it now, it's perfected. Rather, I find that I get a little out of balance in one area and then I bring it back and then it happens again in a different area. But I think what's key to it for me is remembering to value the all of it, you know, and learning to embrace it.
That's great. Yeah, I always think of it as a juggle because we don't always have our hands on all the balls, right? There's one up in the air, yes, or there's one on the floor.
Yeah, I like that.
So can you tell me, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
Well, I mean, what does it mean to be good at ministry? We have so many different hats we wear, and any one of us is going to be great at some parts of it and maybe kind of terrible at other parts of it. And we count on other people to balance us out or help us because it's a shared leadership kind of a job. I do remember, you know, one night I was on call at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, which is an inner city hospital where I did my chaplaincy internship. And that night, four or five people died on my watch, and I was with them some of those times as they died. Other times I got there right after or was there a little while before. I counseled families that night, all kinds of families of different religious traditions, languages, ethnicities. And I just remember at the end of the night thinking it meant so much to me to be able to companion people through something, and it was such an honor. I remember feeling like, well, if I died tomorrow, I would know I had done something really, really meaningful and important to me, and I could be okay. So I suppose that was a moment when I knew, if not that I was good at the job, that the job was good for me.
Love that. What superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
You know, leadership is an interesting thing. The ability or the sense of a willingness to step into leadership is something that we leaders develop in different ways in our lives. And I think maybe we continue to learn it over the decades. But I think once I realized in my late 20s, early 30s that I felt called to leadership, I was able to look back and see my smart-mouthed little four-year-old self and my rebellious tween and teenager self and see that the same qualities had been with me all along. And it had been a matter of learning how to guide them into something fruitful. And I remember as a parent, my daughter came into this world fierce and passionate and able to organize other kids. And sometimes she really gave me a hard time as a mom, but I remember thinking, oh, she just needs, how can we steer this? You know, how can we steer this into something powerful in her life? Because she also has those qualities.
That's great. What advice would you give yourself 20 years ago?
Well, your question reminds me of a meditation I do sometimes, which is where I seek counsel from my older self. So I feel like our older selves are with us all the time, and we can check in with them if we just get quiet and imagine 20 or 30 years out, or even 5 or 10 years out, whatever we'd like. And, you know, I always find my older self is a lot gentler on me, on my current self, than my current self is, if that makes sense. And so she knows everything is going to be all right. And the things that are giving me angst today won't last forever. And she knows that no feeling is final. So when I think back to myself 20 years ago, I think, go girl, you know, you do you, you've got this, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about being a little rough around the edges or not knowing how the path is going to unfold. It just will. So you can just trust it.
I love that. And so many people answer this question so differently in terms of actual advice or judging themselves, you know, 20 years ago, or just accepting and saying, go, you know, go for it, do what you're doing, which is more along the lines of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Do you identify as a feminist?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Do you want to expand?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even back when I was that 19-year-old mom, I had this old, about a $400 pumpkin orange Volvo, and it had a sticker on the back that said, feminism is the radical notion that women are people. So I think I've been a feminist probably my whole life. That's an identity that comes easily to me.
Do you think your mom was a feminist? And did you learn that from her? Or did that come through your early learnings at the church?
I don't know if she would have self-identified as a feminist, but she definitely believed in equity and opportunity for all people. And so I think she lived as a feminist.
Last question. What are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
So I'm reading a novel called Joy Comes in the Morning, and it's about a rabbi in her early 30s, I think, just trying to balance being a person and a religious leader.
This sounds appropriate for you right now. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Angela Herrera, a Unitarian Universalist since she was 7 years old and the daughter of a functionally illiterate mom. Angela Herrera graduated from Harvard Divinity School and is now the senior minister-elect for First Unitarian in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can get the freebie at wellwomanlife.com/070show. Join us on June 14th for the Well Woman Deep Dive Workshop at West on creating financial abundance with Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, who will help you understand how much it will cost to live your dreams, and healer Christine Berg, who will remove and release energetic money blocks so you can restore your abundance default. If you'd like to attend, visit wellwomanlife.com/events to register. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing it every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.